Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Alan Eric Toboski, right here on the Everyman Show, live from the upper northeast corridor of the United States, somewhere on the planet. Well, you know, I'll tell you something. Revelation after revelation, fact after fact. Do you ever wonder whether or not the internet is the portal into hell? I often ask myself that every day when I look at the things that I read and see, and you know, I have to tell you that today I stumbled across a few things that make sense. At 57 years old and being from Washington, D.C., inside the Beltway, and wondering what happened, who did what, why are things the way they are. I wanted to do some research today into the last four sitting presidents. What did they represent? What were they involved in? How did we end up in the crisis we're in today? And I stumbled across something that was just absolutely the most demonic, unimaginable, just eye-opening to the point where, you know, I've been looking at, you know, certain things all week. I talked last night about Operation Gladio, Operation Paperclip. If you followed my program for the last year, I've talked a lot about America's Nazi Secrets, what Alan Dulles did, what Foster Dulles did, what the CIA has been involved in. If there were demons roaming the planet, if it is true what they say, that transhumanists walk the halls of the Pentagon, Paula Harris last night. I am a big info warrior, Infowars.com, GlobalResearch.Canada, all of the satellite reporting agencies, and I like to listen to Coast to Coast. But what I came across today, it shocked me at first. It set me back on my heels. I thank God that I can reach down and pet my dog. They're like a conduit that takes away the anxiety. But do you ever wonder about the drug wars, about the drug regulations, about Big Pharma, about the millions of people that have been put in the ground, died early, agonizing deaths from drugs, drug trafficking? We hear a lot about this guy Epstein and Clinton and the child trafficking and human trafficking and the Vatican. But I just came across something, and I want to tell you about it. There are three companies involved. One, of course, is Halliburton. The other one is Brown and Boot. You may have not have heard of them. And, of course, Villian. These corporations are extremely powerful. They are global. They involve oil. They involve building military industrial complex centers across the planet. But more so than anything else is the trafficking in heroin. You wonder why John Deere is in Afghanistan and why the military is in Afghanistan and poppy fields are up 90%. I see in the news constantly where people have been caught, pulled over with 50 bags of heroin, 100 bags of heroin, 500 bags of heroin, 1,000 bags of heroin, 7,500 bags of heroin. A bag is a small dose of heroin. And I often wondered, were these bags, these papers, these things they put the heroin in, are they trackable? I believe they are. I believe they are satellite tracked. I believe that drones track them. I believe that there are very dark, dark operations that go on a regular basis involving heroin. I read how back all the way back to the early 70s, Jimmy Carter, how Al-Qaeda came about, how the Taliban were armed, why Russia went into Afghanistan. The race was on to control the flow of heroin throughout the planet. This is a $500 billion a year, $500 billion a year industry. That is a lot of money. That's a lot of power. That's a lot of danger. That is a lot of black ops. And the Brotherhood of Darkness, Dick Cheney, George Bush, Herbert Walker Bush, Ronald Reagan, Oliver North, and, of course, so many others, thousands of people involved, conduits, traffickers, airline industry, the banker industry from the top down, World Bank, NATO, UN, UNESCO, are heavily funded by the trafficking, illicit, dangerous heroin, cocaine, marijuana, and many of the other probably big pharma companies around the globe fighting for the rights for these substances. I listened to a guy on TryandAid.net on an interview with Alex Jones about a year and a half ago, discussing, of course, America's Nazi Secrets, Skull and Bones, 322, Bohemian Grove, Bilderberg, you know, the Black Nobility, the Committee of 300, all the way across the board. And one thing that he made very clear was that there was a very, very serious, untold story regarding making plants more valuable than gold. Well, of course, plants being more valuable than gold makes a lot of sense. Being that Monsanto is heavily interested in genetically making the most horrid, nasty plants, food, everything. We talked about a lot about soy, corn, sugar beets, potatoes, they're into everything. They have 1,000 patents ready to go. I've talked about the DNA, RNA interrupters that they work heavily on. They have gotten to the finites of humanity. But when I look now, and I just remember David Alan Steele talking about how he felt that Dick Cheney was maybe and perhaps the most dangerous, frightening person he has ever met. And I truly have to tell you that just being somewhat of a clairvoyant, a guy who I believe in gut flora, I believe in ancestry, I believe that our ancestors speak through us, through, of course, you know, their spirit that never leaves the universe. But I always felt that there was a lie there. I always knew that when George Bush talked about our food supply, our water supply, Dick Cheney talks about suitcase nukes, there had to be something between the lines that I wasn't catching in the verbal, you know, the just out, the audio, the verbal, the narrative. And this makes sense. This hit me like a ton of bricks today. All of these corporations, all of these RAND Corp, these Department of Defense corporations, very, very heavy duty people. Let's put it this way. This fellow Rupert, thewilderness.com site that I was reading, Martin, I think his name was Martin Rupert, who was a police officer with the LAPD back in the 70s, and what drove him to write these stories and to tell all, putting his life on the line, of course, because we know Gary Webb and Michael Hastings were murdered and so many others, Breitbart, et cetera, for, you know, telling us what they knew. Basically, they are birds on a wire. They are people who came out and tried to warn us of what is coming. I told you that Mark Zuckerberg's real name is Jacob Greenberg. We know Barack Obama's true name is either Barry Davis or he is the son of Malcolm X. The conduit to the White House, the conduit to Washington, D.C. Have you ever noticed that Maryland kind of looks like a blunderbuss, looks like a gun, facing the West with Washington, D.C. on the trigger? And you have to ask yourself, like the four or five pyramids on the planet, like so many other telltale signs of a more powerful force in the universe, so much more powerful than what we know, could they be the ones who orchestrate this dastardly deed? Is it true that God controls every waking moment, every thought, everything, every last drop of blood in existence, from the most minute atom to the largest animals on the, you know, elephants. I mean, come on. There has to be a force to be reckoned with here. And I read today how these corporations, and we know that about, you know, Blackwater, and I went to the Villiana, I think is what it's called, and it's Vanillan, V-I-N-N-I-L-L-A-N, somewhere in there. And they do a lot of the security and the hiring and the control of these people. And this was just a sad. I am so completely ashamed and just outraged. I served in the military for 6 years. I know people that have had limbs blown off. I know guys that have been shot. I know guys that have been on Percocet for decades that cannot get the medicine anymore from the VA. I know a lot about the vaccines. I talked about the time I was in boot camp and went into a coma for 7 hours. My last name being Dabosky. Did they not like me? Did they choose me because of my Eastern European last name? Did I receive a bad vaccine? Did I receive other attentions and interest from dark ops people? Am I lucky to be alive today? Am I lucky to have a roof over my head? Maybe. Maybe. But I don't feel as though I live in bliss anymore. Ignorance is bliss. Having knowledge is an absolute weight to bear. And when I read about, you know, how things came about, you know, the First World War, Second World War, the Bushes coming on the scene, they've always been there since the beginning. Prescott Bush, Herbert Walker Bush, CIA, clandestine operations, the Staybacks, Gladio, Paperclip, Kissinger, Brzezinski. I just have to say, wow. I just have to say I'm not shocked, but to know that this information runs freely in the veins of the journalistic world, I fully understand why Brian Williams would make up a story to make George Bush look good, to turn himself into a hero. You see, they have that currency. A journalist, a broadcast journalist, an investigative journalist works with a type of currency that is far more valuable than gold, far more valuable than drugs, something that bankers can never get their hands on, and that's the truth. information, the conduit. I'm working very hard on building chirpwire.com. Chirpwire.com will hopefully at some point become a reality for me. And I want it to be the free and open flowing of history and information that you won't see anywhere else, and it cannot be corrupted, it cannot be interrupted, it cannot be shut down, and I want to keep it going. It's somewhat like Drudge, but to the 10th hour. These are stories that Matt Drudge would never touch. The real and unimaginable information that comes from, like, you know, you see the, well, you see the light fluff of the, you know, what you see on the internet here and there, globalresearch.canada, you see the Drudge, you see Infowars.com. They on a daily basis, they put it out. Alex Jones, you know, he is what I would call a screaming vulture over a dead carcass. The carcass, the animal's already dead, and it's too late at that point for a screaming vulture. See, the screaming vulture feeds on the dead carcass. The Drudge feeds on the dead carcass of information already passed. My point of view is this, that humanity is plagued by oligarchs and very powerful men who are they're bored. They're sick and tired of the masses. We know about the Stonehenge, I believe it's up in Wisconsin. We know full well that MI6, MI5 have chiseled out history, the CIA, all these other black ops. It's not just running drugs to innocent people that didn't see it coming. It's the fact that the money that was used is now being used by the globalists. They've built weapons of mass destruction, does not even begin to describe this 1984 scenario. 1984 doesn't describe it. Barack Obama tried to talk about the Crusades. I think if he were anything else and not the president, he would be working for a sanitation company as a shit-stirring. He was installed like a dishwasher. And I have to tell you, for a spindly dude like him, he certainly carries the weight. I can't imagine what he does to sedate himself, to keep himself from going mad. Absolutely insane as he tries to represent the innocents in this country and on a global scale while annihilating in the same breath the same people. When I thought about getting into broadcasting and I thought about maybe a career as a radio announcer, I came up with the Everyman Show because it is about everyman. It is about terrorism from every spectrum, beginning to end, whether it is chemical companies screwing around with the food supply, whether it's military weapons manufacturers unleashing their undaunting power on simple people that are in the wrong place at the wrong time, whether it's ISIS or ISIL or whatever their name is, or Al-Qaeda, or Joe Blow, or MS-13, or the Bloods, the Crips, the Latino Maniac Disciples, or Los Zetas, or the loss of humanity. It is a wretched, greasy, smoldering stench of how the most noble of causes are absolutely, absolutely tainted with the same egregious slime. So I read about Brown and Boot, and I read about the Vanillin Company, and I'm looking at TRW and Rand Corporation and Booz Hamilton Allen, Booz Allen Hamilton. I'm reading about, you know, DynCorp, and I worked for them. I used to sit out there on the tarmac on the flight line, and I would be firing up those A-4s, A-7s, T-38s, T-2s, F-18s, F-16s, P-3s, saying, look at these beasts of burden. Look at these machines of death. These, while magnificent, fantastic feats of engineering, also produce a sort of inhumane atrocity that is difficult to describe in words. Tears of a soldier's mother or wife or daughter or son, those speak volumes in lost lives. They tell the true tale. Money, the economy, unemployment, the sculpting of reality and truth. You see, they know what they're going to do. They know what the future looks like in 10 years, 25 years, 50 years. They get it. I often wonder why you rarely ever see a picture of Vladimir Putin smiling. You never or rarely see the leaders in China smiling. Mao smiled a lot. Stalin smiled quite a bit. You saw pictures of Hitler grinning from ear to ear. And you watch his speeches as he goes into a trance, yelling and screaming about how he's going to just kill everything that moves. And the Jews of Israel, after 6,000 years of just trying to stay alive, just trying to exist, here again are put in the center of the conflict, the pawns, the pieces of the chessboard. They take it away. And you hear Rockefeller saying, you want to interrupt me? You want to confront me? We are gods. We are gods. We will be gods. And you want to interrupt me? There will be warfare. And you watch the movies. You see the Bruckheimer Belisarius shows on television every night. If you can see all the blood, guts, and gore you want, you can watch Bones and get a real depiction in silicone fabricated fake Hollywood made bodies. I'm not quite sure why they bother editing. I'm not quite sure what the FCC's purpose is. But we may as well just go ahead and start airing the truth. We may as well show what an exploding baby looks like in real time. We may as well show what it looks like when someone takes a 9-inch knife and beheads a live human being. We may as well show what it looks like as someone is burned to death as they were 450 years ago. Because no matter how they try to dissuade us from looking, we're going to look. And you don't have to be a brilliant, brilliant genius to picture it in your mind. You can go to YouTube and watch people slaughtering dogs. Every sort of human error is now depicted on the internet. But I think what they should do is watch a heroin addict. We should be able to watch a heroin addict inject themselves or a young, beautiful girl snort cocaine and slowly die right in front of our faces, right on the camera. That would be reality TV. We should watch a coke addict snort a gram of cocaine and go into convulsion. We should be able to watch a young person smash up some OxyContin, put it up their nose, and wither away and simply die. As a matter of fact, why don't they hook up a heart monitor? Why don't they go ahead and hook up monitors so we can watch them fade away, give up their lives, and call it a day? What is the point of editing? What is the point of censoring anything anymore? I can't take any action. Why doesn't Bruce Springsteen make a song about this? Why doesn't Sting make a play about this? Why doesn't Merle Haggard write about this? Why don't they write about what Liberace was doing? Why don't they write about what Jimmy Savile was? How can Jimmy Carter stand up there and take an award? Bob Dylan still walks the planet, and he tried to write about it. Congress claps and stands up, and they all sit around, and they're all perfect hair. Never out of place. Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, Barbara Boxer, all the rest of the Department of Defense contractors' wives, how they all glisten in their glory and their unimaginable mental derangement. It is a horrible, horrible reality, this heroin. As I've said many times, my cousin Edward, when I found that he was into this and I gave him some money and he wanted to borrow some money for food and there was no food, and I saw the tombstones in his eyes after not seeing him ever since I was a little boy. Then I saw him again, finally at 30 years old, we met. He was 10 years older than I am. And he was a dead man walking. And mysteriously, on April 13th, 1913, his apartment exploded in a ball of fire, and he lived for a few hours after that. I can't imagine that he was cooking. He was probably cooking meth, cooking some drugs, because he was heavily involved in the transport of this trash I speak of tonight. And I knew him for about a year, and I told him never contact me again. He contacted me in 1999 and told me he was homeless. And I said, well, that's too bad. Don't you ever come around here. I don't ever want to see you. To me, you were dead a long time ago. And today I died a little bit inside, knowing what I know. The $1 trillion-a-year drug trade, and how America was built on the foundation of heroin. So, so sad. Thanks for listening. This is the Everyman Show. Good night.